now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Well, it's good to be back from a three-week vacation. I've been spending some time working on my new fiction book about a lounge Lothario assassin. More on that to come in the coming weeks. Great to be back in the penthouse with all the lounge and exotica that you need for your swank life. And this week, we talked to Rory Snyder about Mod Palm Springs, which is coming up in October. Also, I've got some inconvenient truths about classic cars for you, some Batman news for you, a cool house with a great history to pick up if you've got a spare $9 million sitting around, and I'll announce the winner of our CD competition, plus the latest and greatest lounge and exotica from across the globe. Right now, from the latest Clouseau album, this is Shot in the Dark on the Cocktail Nation.
This is the Cocktail Nation, thanks to ultraswank.net.
Thank you.
It's the Cocktail Nation with Coop Cooper and Cocktail in with Stella by Starlight. This week on the show, we are talking about a big event which is coming up in Palm Springs, Mod Palm Springs. A weekend of entertainment, art, cocktails, sticky and mid-century modern, October 10. Mod-palmsprings.com is the website to check out. They've also got a Facebook page as well. Rory Snyder joins me on the line.
It should be pretty good. It'll be around 600 people if it grows like we expected to from the last show.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the lineup for this year. I know you got a lot of things locked down. What sort of things can we expect at Mod Palm Springs?
Well, right now we've got the Outersides who are our headliners for Saturday. Before that, we have a great fashion show. So we wanted to go a lot more kind of English 60s with the mod. A couple years ago when we said mod, I kind of just considered that mid-century modern, and a lot of people took it as direct mod. So we're going more English style for Saturday, and then we're bringing Nutty in for Friday night to do kind of a big band, kind of jazz feel.
I tell you what, Nutty are just, you know, one of my favorite bands around. I mean, you know, Sonny brings so much energy, and I just love the arrangements that those guys do. So it's great to bring them out of, you know, out of Palm Springs. I mean, they mostly seem to play in Los Angeles these days, so it's good to bring them out to Palm Springs.
I loved having them out of here. There's also another place called the Purple Room that has used them in the last year. They've always been on my radar. I'm a good friend with Sonny. It just was one of those things as the events are growing. An 8-piece band changes everything. The size of the stage I have to bring in, the size of the PA equipment I have to bring in, and budgeting-wise, a first-time event couldn't afford, or mine couldn't afford, to bring in a band that size. But I'm just super excited. They're going to change up some of their music around, plus all their standards. And I hope it's not too warm for them in those seats, since they'll be playing outside by the pool in front of hopefully 600 people.
Absolutely. Who else you got lined up for the show?
Right now, we also have Marty Lush, who, as you interviewed Illegal Lyman not too long ago, did the vibes for the Illegal Lyman Lazy Jazz 2 album. Marty was also part of the Tikiaki Orchestra at one point. He's going to come as my MC because he is just brilliant and funny, and he played with the Latin Livers last mod. This time we're going to use him in the lounge, most likely as a Marty Lounge, and he's going to do a lounge act with a couple of the members of the Latin Livers. There's also a good chance the Martini Kings, which have a spin-off, the Coxmen, that do kind of a garage feel, kind of do like Scooby-Doo theme rock kind of, you know, 1960s vibe with the organ. And we've got three other bands in the works that I can't, or I don't want to put out there yet because the contracts aren't signed and it's not guaranteed. But believe me, people will get their money's worth, and it's shaping up beautifully because finally the event between Caliente and Mod's been around long enough. People are contacting me and I'm like, oh my God, these guys would be absolutely awesome. Now it's just seeing if I could fit them into the lineup that we already have.
That was fantastic. Now, you've got a Facebook page up as well, which I know you're going to be updating pretty regularly. What's the address on that one?
Modpalmsprings.com.
Cool. Okay. Rory, it sounds like it's going to be another fantastic show. Website, mod-palmsprings.com, that'll be the place where you can grab most of the tickets as well, I would imagine, things like that.
Tickets go on sale in the middle of July. We're already pre-selling tickets for people who are in group A, B, and C. Anybody who came last year and had pool view, partial pool view, or non-view gets first rights to get their old rooms back.
Right.
So much like Caliente, by the time we actually go public in middle of July, would probably be close to 60% sold out.
Right. So you better not hesitate if you want to go.
No, please don't. And plus, if you're staying in grounds instead of wristbands, we're doing a beautiful limited edition shag pendant that we're creating just for the event. So instead of wearing the wristband, you'll have this great pendant, which is something you could walk away with as a great memory. And we'll also be making available like Friday or Saturday only wristbands. So if you can only see part of the show or want to stay off grounds, we still would love to have you, but it's never going to be the same experience as being on grounds in Palm Springs, hearing the bands from your room if you want to take a midday break. And you know, you never know what the weather is going to be like, so it's awfully nice to escape to a nice air-conditioned room if possible.
Absolutely. Rory Snyder, thanks for your time. Great to talk to you again.
Thank you for calling. Thank you.
till the tune ends. We're dancing in the dark, and it soon ends. We're waltzing in the wonder of why we're here. Time hurries by, we're here and gone, looking for the light of a new love to brighten up the night. I have you, love, and we can't face the music together. Tell me that we're one, looking for the light of a new love to brighten up the night. I have you, love, and we can face the music together.
Nation, Coop Cooper and Carol Friedett there, Dancing in the Dark. Now, back in 1992, I bought my very first car. It also happened to be a classic car, a 1960 FB Holden. It's a GMH product that looks a little bit like a squashed Chev. It was an average-size car, had an underpowered six-cylinder 128 engine. Yeah, but what it lacked in power, it made up by its awesome styling. And in 1992, there weren't a lot on the road as daily drivers, but most of my friends had picked one up. They were pretty cheap to buy, fairly cheap on parts, and perfect if you're into retro culture. Most of my friends drove one around. I picked up mine for $4,000. It was a beauty. Pretty much took that car all over the country. It didn't have many issues at all. Straightened out a couple of things at the beginning, and then after that, it was pretty fine. Today, that car is worth around about $10,000 more. In fact, I even came across it. I found that it actually moved to Canberra at some point. It sort of followed my family around. And I was amazed to find it. Literally, it only sold about a week ago. And I was able to pick out that car simply by the stylings that I did to the car. I decided to customize the car. So I debadged the car. I put on some cruiser skirts onto it. Dummy spotlights, strata fins, and EJ Overrider. So EJ was a car that came out in 1963 by the same company, and they had these bumper bar overriders. So I bolted on all of these overriders onto the grille of the car to give it a tooth grille. It was an idea that a friend had given me. So it was a very distinctive car, dropped 2 inches on the rear as well, so it was tail dragon, and had spinner hubcaps as well. So it was quite customised. Anyway, I found the car by accident. Literally, somebody had stripped off most of the things that I'd done. The only thing they hadn't changed, which made the car easily recognisable, was the fact that it still had the tooth grille and it was still debadged. And I picked it out a mile away when I saw it in the classifieds. I was pretty amazed, considering I sold that car back in 2000, I think it was. So it's been a long time since I've seen that car. Today, that car is worth around about $10,500 more than what I paid for it, which is hard to believe, hard to swallow. Now you start to think, maybe I should have kept that thing. Having owned classic cars all my life, I've seen the prices rise slowly but surely. And when the economy is slow, they're hard to sell because it's a little bit like owning a boat. It's something that you really need, particularly as most people only run them on the weekends, so it can make a fairly expensive hobby. A recent insurance report claims that many are underinsured because of the climbing prices of these vehicles. And a lot of people kept their car at a similar insurance level when they first purchased it. Add into the mix that most people keep a classic car for 10 or more years, the value is likely to be far higher than one might expect. So for the average person wanting to get into classic cars, they're going to find it a lot more expensive than in previous years, which really means that classic cars are moving into the rich older man's territory, thus making them a little bit more endangered and rare. My prediction is that eventually many will become so expensive to own that a lot of enthusiasts will not even want to back them out of the garage for fear of damage. And let's face it, when you spend a lot of restoring a car, it's a nervous proposition when you take it down the road, considering how many nutbags are out on the street. Another possible scenario, which could possibly make cars an endangered species, is the loss of knowledge. Most classic car owners are in their 60s. Many of these guys have got a wealth of knowledge and skill, and the average mechanic is not equipped with the knowledge to repair or even service these cars well. Time after time, I've found people have done dodgy repairs and restoration of cars that simply went wrong. Things that simply are not adjusted properly, basically, but not necessarily properly. When you meet one of the old cats that dig classic cars, they've often identified several missing items, wrong items, or just poor restoration on your car, which is often makes you feel a little bit sad. Several years ago, I joined a Chrysler car club. I turned up at the clubhouse for the monthly meeting at a 957 Chrysler Royal. I found most of the members were at least 30 years older than me. Not a whole lot of fun when you're a young guy, but it was also intimidating too, as they tend to assume, and probably rightly so, that I didn't know what I was talking about, and they'd be right. The fact remains that fewer young people are getting into classic cars, and this is a major problem. Once that knowledge pool dries up, the older owners either die or get too old. One has to wonder what will happen to the classic car hobby. More and more I see sales of cars with mentions in the ad that they are in bad health and can no longer maintain the car. Well, their sons aren't interested in the car. It's a sad state of affairs. I wonder what will happen to the car. And what about the knowledge? My prediction may only be realized in 10 decades to come, maybe. Well, maybe more, but I can tell you that it's starting to happen now. That classic cars are becoming an endangered species, sadly, in inconvenient truth. Here's Robert Conrad now, and you're getting to be a habit with me on the Cocktail Nation.
Every kiss, every hug seems to act just like a drug. You're getting to be a habit with me. Let me stay in your arms. I'm addicted to your charms. You're getting to be a habit with me. I used to think your love was something that I could take or leave alone. But now I couldn't live without my supply. I need you for my own. Oh, I can't break away. I must have you every day, as regularly as coffee or tea. You've got me in your clutches and I can't get free. You're getting to be a habit with me. Thank you. can't break away. I must have you every day, as regularly as coffee or tea. You've got me in your clutches and I can't get free. You're getting to be a habit with me. You're getting to be a habit with me.
Hello, baby.
The Cocktail Nation.
Ursula Chanton, my tease for pleasure. You think her heart's strung on simply fishnets and feathers, Zoetica blues. Just a ghost as the floor shows past. Zoetica blues, Zoetica. She torched the tarot, scorched the wrong fillers. Never scored her Sinatra, just brought out shrunken jazz caressers. Zoetica blues, just a ghost of a mannequin at first. Zoetica blues, Zoetica. Just swings with a lonely crowd, swings with the only crowd. Ring it, ding it with the lonely crowd. Dee da da da. Sweethearts and fellines, crooked on opiate schemes, delirium, you're a screams. Dee da da da. Just swings with a lonely crowd, swings with the only crowd. Ring it, ding it with the Broadway hounds. Da-da-da-da. Sweethearts and fillings, or crooked on opiate schemes. Delirium, you're a screams. Mandatrina. Just swings with a lonely crowd. Sweethearts and fellines, or crooked on opiate schemes. Delirium, you're a screams. Ziva-da-da. Thank you.
Cocktail Nation with Coop Cooper and Jim Spencer there from his latest album, that is Nightfall. JamesSpencer.com if you'd like to follow what he's been doing. Earlier this year, some good news, the Batman TV series, which ran from 66 to 68 on ABC, is going to be released on DVD, which is wonderful news. Should be coming out in November. Looking forward to that. As tacky and campy as it is, it always still brings a laugh to me. Sometimes there are things that you might watch when you're a kid and you go back and watch them and you think, oh, yeah, not as funny as I thought. But there are other things, like, for example, Get Smart. I still think that's absolutely hilarious. And I'm sure that I'll be enjoying Batman series as well. Finally, after many, many years, it's going to be all out, 120 episodes on DVD. Should be out around November, in time for Christmas. Henry Mancini now, and the Pink Panther theme on the Cocktail Nation.
Section 3.5, the cone of silence. To activate, simply lower the cone and speak clearly.
What?
Do not overuse the cone of silence.
What?
Do not shout in the cone of silence.
What?
In fact, don't even use the cone of silence.
What?
It's never worked right. I don't know why we bought it in the first place. Section 3.6, the portable cone of silence.
Tail Nation.
What?
It's late. I'm gone. Dark before the dawn. Heavy eyes, beating heart, pensive mind. I drive alone. Quarter still unknown. Every breath like a measure of time. Night. There's no wrong or right. Silent still in the shade of the moon. Impatient flight. Am I losing sight? Starless sky, dark beyond deepest blue. Too late to turn. promises to burn. Time stands still as you open the door. Too late to turn.
Nation. Thanks to UltraSwank.net, Janice Baller, and Midnight Voyage. Well, how about this? The ultimate holiday home for an Elvis Presley fan who's got a lot of cash to spare. A luxurious Palm Springs honeymoon pad, which was leased by the King with his new wife, Priscilla, in 1966, now on the market. Could you imagine it? It's an absolutely gorgeous house, and if you check out my website, cocktailnation.net, we've got the pictures up there for you over in the News of the World tab. But you will need a cool $9.5 million to be able to pick it up. But I'll tell you what, though, it's a great-looking house. And what a fabulous, fabulous history, too. Boasting 5 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, and set on more than an acre of land, the mid-century 3-story property is currently a museum open to tourists, stocked with Elvis memorabilia, which the buyer gets to keep, as well as the batwing-style roof. There's also a pool and a tennis court on the plot in the exclusive Vista Las Palmas neighborhood in California. Elvis and Priscilla leased the home, originally called the House of Tomorrow, for about a year for $21,000. Signed a lease, which still hangs on the wall, for their Las Vegas wedding in 1967. Pretty amazing stuff. It was purchased by Boston-based Elvis junkie M.L. Lewis through a trust in 1987 for $487,000. He's owned it ever since, and is stacked high with memorable photos and wedding pictures of the couple. It was actually designed in 4 perfect circles in 1960, offering a panoramic view of Santa Rosa Mountains and Coachella Valley. Scenes from the film Elvis and Me and another documentary starring Priscilla Presley were filmed there as well. So it's certainly got a lot of history, but yeah, fairly expensive at $9.5 million. But I have a feeling that's probably a house that will never lose value. Time for a look at the world of swing now, thanks to pastimealbumclocks.com. Stack of events across the globe that you might like to check out. For example, we've got DJ Baz in Palm Springs. He plays regularly on a Wednesday night over at Zool, 369 North Canyon Palm Drive. What Palm Springs that we found out about this week on the show, October 10. We've got Jennifer Keith on tour at the moment throughout the rest of the year, in fact. Coming up July 31, record release party at the Edison, Los Angeles. And she's coming here to Australia in October 2nd, for her Australian tour. She can be here for about 6 days. We've got Weekend at Sinatra's coming up on October 12th. And Frank and Tony Marsico are going to be there, along with Buddy Greco. Jack Crosley's Lost World, back after 12 years, second Tuesday of every month. And you can check this one out over at Otto's Shrunken Head in New York City. Narco Lounge Combo, Tuesday, 29th of July, Bootlegger in England, Cheltenham Road. If you'd like some more details on these events, all you need to do is head over to our website, cocktailnation.net. Buddy Greco, you can see it Weekend at Sinatra's, and My Last Night in Rome on the Cocktail Nation.
Why did I have to meet her on my last night in Rome? Why did I have to lose my heart to someone a world apart? Why was the night so tempting and her lips so lips that I swear were heaven-blessed when they were pressed to mine? Stars surrendered to the sunrise and kissed the morning sky. Surrendered at the same time. Then it came time to say goodbye. And now every night I'll wonder, under starlight back home. Why did I have to fall in love on my last night in Rome? Now every night I wonder under starlight back home. Why did I have to fall in love on my last night in Rome, on my last night in Rome.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Donation with Coop Cooper, Days of Wine and Roses. That is Jackie Gleason. Congratulations to Angel Kelly of Illinois, who's picked up our CD. It is The Very Best of Music to Watch Girls by the reason I started to do a giveaway is because I happened to go through the Cocktail Nation prize cupboard and found a whole bunch of CDs that I hadn't actually given away. So I thought, well, over the next, well, rest of the year, I suppose, I'll give away this CD. And I'm also going to give away another one as well, Sinatra one. I've got some extra copies sent to me. Sinatra Seduction. Sinatra Sings of Love. And that is a very, very good CD. They're both great CDs, but that's a particularly good one. So congratulations to Angel Kelly of Illinois, and we'll get the very, very best of Music to Watch Girls By out to you in the post. Next week, checking out the new Clouseau album, chatting to Thomas Escalante from the band, and I will leave you with Waitiki 7 and Simuleu on the Cocktail Nation. Stay happy.